We're glad you're here. On Tuesday, the Lord shared with me, change your message to overcome fear. And I said, okay, Lord. So I changed the title and I said, okay, God, now you're going to have to give me the message. I got the title. Let's have the message. So he woke me up Thursday morning at 3 a.m., which he's been getting me up at 3 to intercede and pray, and began to download this message for today. And, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, I felt like the Lord said that he's awakening me at 3 to pray and intercede, to undo and dismantle what the enemy has done in the night hours. You see, that the enemy works in the darkness. And he plans and schemes and sets up traps against the people of God for us to fall into in our day. So in the morning, we get up and begin to command our day before the sun comes up. Because when the sun comes up, it burns up the plans of the enemy. And so that's what God has had me doing. And he gave me this message. And so we're going to go through it. It's not very long, but hallelujah. I pray it'll touch your heart. It's something for right now. The first thing is fear not. Amen. Let's read the scripture. Number one, you can write it on your notes, is fear not. Because the Lord just gave me all of these this morning. So hallelujah. I didn't have the 5 steps, but now I do. And now you do. Fear not. Let's read it together. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let's go to Hebrews 13:8. The promises of God are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we find this promise in the Old Testament, but it hasn't ended. It's still relevant to our life today, and we can claim it today that the Lord is with us, and he is upholding us with his righteous right hand. And so the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the coronavirus has not changed the Word or the promises of God. Stress and anxiety will actually lower your immune system. So our adrenal glands, they produce hormones. They produce cortisol and they produce DHEA. And the cortisol is a stress hormone. Well, it cannot produce cortisol and DHEA at the same time. And the DHEA is a good hormone. It helps build your immunity system. It helps your body be at peace. And so it's important when God told us to be anxious for nothing, he knew what he was talking about, because anxiety and stress and fear actually produce chemicals in our body that are harmful to us. So we're focusing on the Lord this morning so that we have the right response when we face a crisis. First thing is fear not. The next thing, number two, is trust in the Lord. Let's read Proverbs 3:5-8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So what we are to fear is we fear the Lord God Almighty, that we would displease him. Because when we walk in obedience and we walk in faith in the Word of God, what does the scripture says? It's health to our flesh and it is strength to our bones. So we are going to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. In the New Testament, Jesus said to worship the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. We hold back nothing from God. All that we are, all that we ever will be, is because of Him. Hallelujah. Let's read the next verse, Psalm 56, 3 through 4. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. Okay, every minute, you have 6 opportunities on the average to check your thoughts and bring them into alignment. You know, about every 10 seconds, your mind starts to wander. You know, there's a lot of files that are open in your mind. You have a lot of things going on in your life. There's a lot of things going on in the world. And about every 10 seconds, our thoughts can shift to go check a file. Does that make sense? So we have opportunity every minute to trust in the Lord. We have opportunity every minute to bring our thoughts into, I am not afraid. I will not fear. I will not fear and I will trust the Lord. Okay, 3. And this scripture lines up with that to keep your thoughts in check. Let's read it. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So the points are, we make it your lifestyle to keep your thoughts in check. You know, there is so much going on in the media right now. And we want to use wisdom. We don't want to be foolish. God has given us common sense, right? And so we are using wisdom, but at the same time, we are not going to believe everything that we hear or everything that we read on Facebook. There's a whole lot of stuff out there, but when we look to God, He's going to show us what we need to do. The scripture says to bring our thought and demolish those arguments that set themselves up above the knowledge of God. Now you see, when the church gathers together and prays, there's power of 2. There's power in 3. 1 will put 1,000, 2 will put 10,000. You see, the enemy would love to dismantle the church and the gathering of the saints. Hallelujah. And I pray those that are not able to actually be in a church setting, that they are praying in their homes. You know, people are saying, oh, God's going to have church in our homes. There should have been church in your home all the time. This is nothing new. You know, people are like, oh, yeah, that's what God's doing. He's been doing that since He created the family. Church should be going on in your house. You should be gathering and praying. And then there's a corporate meeting of the corporate body of Christ, because God does something in the corporate body. He's going to use the church through eternity. Hallelujah. So make it your lifestyle. Keep your thoughts in check. Don't give in to fearful thoughts. When we dwell on something, it begins to change our thinking patterns. And so the best thing to do is nix that as soon as it comes in your mind. Sometimes you just have to say out loud, I am not going to think about that. I was talking with someone this last week that I minister to that's in Indianapolis, and she's an attorney, and there is a lot stirring and going on. And I said, you know, you've got to just tell yourself, I am not going to think about that. I'm not going to let that thought rule me, control me, cause fear to come in my life, cause me to back down or doubt what God is doing. Right. Hallelujah. And then take toxic thoughts captive. Some thoughts are just poisonous to us. You know, if you continually think in your mind, your body begins to respond to your thoughts. Did you know that? It begins to respond to your thoughts because Your brain, like I said, produces chemicals, it produces hormones, and your body has this reaction whether you want it to or not. And so we have to take that thought, that toxic thought, captive. And what does it say? Demolish it. Because it's setting itself up above the knowledge of God. All of us in here know the Word of God. All of us probably have more than one Bible in our house, or access to many different translations on our electronic devices. And so we know what thoughts are from God and what thoughts are not from God. We're not to entertain anything that is not from Him. So we make it our lifestyle. And God's given us the ability to do that. We just read it in 2 Corinthians 10:5. He doesn't ask us to do anything He doesn't give us the ability to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Four is, remember, God loves you. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Are you reading with me? Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So let's read that again together. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. God loves us. God is love. God can only love you because He's love. And so everything that comes to us comes from a loving heavenly Father. He's a good, good Father. Let's read about love, 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8. We know that God is love, the scripture says. And this is what love looks like in 1 Corinthians. Let's read it together. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not honor or dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Hallelujah. So we were reading those things about what it does not do. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. And for some reason, this thought popped in my mind. Did you ever have a thought pop in your mind? The thought was, it does not fight over toilet paper. So remember, God loves you. And love thoughts will produce faith. We have faith that what we need, God is going to supply, right? I have some friends that went to buy toilet paper and there was absolutely none. And while they were standing there, they brought a pallet of toilet paper. So before they left the store, they had what they needed because they trust God. Amen. So resentful and negative thoughts produce fear. And fear is what produces that stress hormone, cortisol. So love is a guaranteed message because love never fails. God will never fail us. We have no reason to fear. So remember, God loves you. And the last thing, the fifth thing, is remember God is at work. God is at work. Let's read the scripture. We're ready. Okay. Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Have you ever had a season in your life where you couldn't see God at work clearly enough? And did it make you wonder whether he was really doing anything at all? And I think we've all walked through those seasons where we wondered, God, where are you? Are you really at work? But we have this promise in Philippians that if he began a good work in us, then he's going to bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, when you pass from this life and you meet face to face with Jesus Christ, the work that you were assigned to do on earth, the good work that he created for you, will be finished. So everybody's work is still going on because we're all breathing, right? When we take our last breath, that's when it ends. Hallelujah. So remember, God is at work. And I thought about the book of Esther. And most of you sitting here are probably familiar with Esther. But in the entire book, God's name is not mentioned once. Not once is there a reference to God, yet the entire book clearly points to his presence. And on every page of the book of Esther, God is at work in the details that is going on in her life and in the life of the Jews. And even so, we know that even when his name isn't mentioned, even when it looks like he's not there, he's still at work behind the scenes in our life. Even when we're facing the unknown, like Esther was facing an enemy, God was at work at protecting Queen Esther. He had a plan, and he was not going to allow the enemies to destroy his people. And so when we trust in the Lord and we have confidence in God that he has started a work in us, even though right now we are in uncertain times and we're hearing so many different conflicting reports, and so we're sort of in this place of the unknown. And if we're not careful, we can get into this place of the what ifs. But we want to remember in the midst of that, even when we can't see it clearly, God is faithful to the end. And he sees the end from the beginning. I remember President Trump said in one of his messages, this virus needs to disappear. And you know, I come into agreement that this virus needs to just go away in Jesus' name. And the people of God are called to pray and to stand in the gap when there are demonic schemes released against the people of God. God's at work in the midst of all of this. And so my challenge today to you is, how does the truth that God is faithful to you impact the way that you are viewing your present trial? We've got to bring our thoughts, our beliefs into alignment with God's word and God's truth. Five steps I gave you. Fear not. Trust the Lord. Keep your thoughts in check. Remember God loves you. And remember God is at work. We trust God. First Peter 1:23. There is a slide for that if you go back. Let's read that together. For through the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again, and this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but will live and grow inside of you forever. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a praise. Lou Ingalls issued a call, and we should have a slide for that, for the global church to take a stand against the destructive spread of the coronavirus. And we are calling the global church to a three-day Esther fast, March 18th, 19th, and 20th, to humble ourselves, confess our sins and the sins of our nation, Joel 2, and cry out to God for mercy. Then on the third day, as when Esther went before the king, let us gather together in small or large groups and stand as the ecclesia, that is the church, that is the ruling instrument here in the earth that God has given his authority to. We will stand before the King of Glory, and let us stretch out his rod of authority out of Zion and rebuke the coronavirus in united corporate agreement, believing in faith that the storm will abate, stadiums will be filled, and 2020 will go down as the year of the historic advance of evangelism and missions worldwide. And the question he asked is, would you join us for this three-day Esther fast, March 18th through the 20th? And that is this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And Friday evening, we will gather here at 6:30 to stand and take our part as the ecclesia in this area to declare and rebuke with God's authority that coronavirus and forbid it to spread throughout the world, because God is greater than any virus that has been released against human beings, because everyone on this planet, every human being was created in the image of God, and Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And so in the midst of all of that, Lou is calling us to stand together as the people of God. So I'm going to give that to you as your challenge. Will you fast? And an Esther fast is food and water, which is a little difficult. And I shouldn't say that, it's a little difficult. But the truth is, these bodies like food and water, right? And when you deprive them 3 days, you hear about it, don't you? So you ask the Lord what you are to do. And if it's a complete fast, then we pray for grace and strength, because God will help you, right? He doesn't ask us to do anything that we are not able to do, that he's not going to help us to do. Sometimes we decide to do things ourselves, and then we run into trouble. Have you ever done that? Yeah. All right. We've all done that. Let's be honest. Hallelujah. So fasting those 3 days, and then gathering on Friday night to pray. And a reminder tonight, this is our third Sunday of March. We have corporate prayer at 6:30 tonight. And our plan is to go on with what we have planned. God hasn't told us to cancel, so we will continue what we are doing. If something changes, then we will let you know immediately that we're not meeting, okay? And as far as Apostle Tom coming, as far as I know, he's planning to come. But they're talking about restricting domestic travel. And in some of the nations, they're restricting traveling city to city. And so we don't know what's going to happen in 2 weeks, but we are going to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. You see, the enemy would want us to cancel everything because he wants us to miss out on the impartation revelation that God has for the church at this time. But this is a time for the church to arise with apostolic signs, wonders, and miracles. Hallelujah. It's time to arise. You know, I thought about this. Apostle Leonard is going to come. He's got some scriptures that he has put together with declarations for us to take home, to decree and to declare. But you know, the word of God is like a sword, and it cuts, right? It divides. And it's like an arrow that is sent out. When we pray, there is a prayer that goes out. It can be like an atomic bomb. And I thought about this. when David faced Goliath, Goliath came at him with his sword and his shield. But when David came against Goliath, he came with the word of the Lord. He came with the rhema word of the Lord. He prophesied to the giant. And you know, as the church, remember, God is raising up his end time army. Amen? Amen. He's raising up a remnant army that is going to rise up. And if we're going to be an army, then we're going to have some giants to slay. And so God has given us an opportunity to use the word of God. David threw a stone with a slingshot. He was a slinger, right? He used a slingshot and hit him. Well, we're going to sling the word of God to destroy the giant. Amen? Amen. It's too big for us. When we think about David was just a young boy and he's going against this giant who mocked him and laughed at him. He goes, what are you doing? Sending me a kid to fight me? So, you know, in the world's eyes, it may look impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I'm going to ask Apostle Leonard if he'll come on up. He loves the word and declarations.
Yes, well, even on this three-day fast, it would be good to read the scripture, because when you quote the word of God, it actually stomps the enemy, doesn't it?
Amen.
And so, did you want us all to read this together or what?
Whatever you want to do.
So this will only take just less than 10 minutes to do all of this. So why don't we all just read it together out loud? You ready? God's word is medicine and creative power, no corona or disease. Isaiah 57, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, says the Lord, and I will heal him. What we speak and declare, the word is fruit and healing. Right, in 2 Corinthians, now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us as God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So we are anointed and sealed with guarantee. We are sealed and no virus can penetrate our body. Matthew, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We bind coronavirus, and it cannot come near us, and we loose and complete protection of our body and life and health. Woo, amen. Revelations. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, nor any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. We have the seal of protection of God on our lives, and no virus will harm us, no hurt, infection, and disease. Well, in the Old Testament, all the Jews had a seal or a mark, and they even wore that one hat. So we have the seal of God, don't we, on us? It's what? Yeah, okay, you're not on. Okay, next. Exodus. And they will take some blood and put it on two doorposts and on the lintel of the house. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over, and the plague shall not come nor to destroy you. I'm sorry. I have the blood of Jesus on me, and in me to seal and protect me from all plagues and viruses and diseases. We do, don't we? We're covered with the blood of Jesus, aren't we?
And I think it's interesting that Passover is actually begins
right.
April 8th.
Yes.
April 8th. We're right in that season. Of Passover. Hallelujah. So anoint your doorways.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Next one. First Thess. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Jesus has delivered and rescued us from the wrath and the evil to come. We are safe. Amen. Matthew, I indeed to baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will burn up the quench and unquenchable fire. I have the fire of the Holy Spirit, and it will burn and cleanse and purify my whole body, no disease and more. Thank you, Jesus. I got the Holy Spirit in me, and if the germ comes near me, it's going to get burned up by the Holy Spirit, isn't it? I'm sorry. Isaiah. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. All the words from the news will not affect us. I reverse every curse spoken to me. I have full strength and complete deliverance of all things. Amen. Amen. All right, John. The thief does not come to steal, except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. You have given me abundant life. I receive that life through your word, and it flows to every portion and organ of my body, bringing healing and full health and safety. Amen. Psalms 91. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In the way of the righteousness is life, and its pathway there is no death. No evil shall befall or approach me, neither shall any plague nor disease come near my dwelling, for you have given your angels charge over me. They keep me in all their ways. In my pathway is life, healing, protection, and full health. Hallelujah. Matthew, or Mark, I'm sorry. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. It is the Spirit who gives life, and the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. That which God has not planted in me is dissolved and rooted out of my body in Jesus' name, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, by whose stripes you were healed. And I am fully alive with the life of God, a new and complete person in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all cast out, isn't it? Luke, he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it will obey you. I command my body and blood cells to destroy every disease, germ, and virus that tries to inhabit my body. It's cast out. I command every cell of my body to be normal in Jesus' name and to double my immune system. All right. Last one. Save the best for last, right? No. Romans. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who has Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. For those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Heavenly Father, as I declare your word, it brings the spirit of life of Christ in me, and your life is energizing every cell and breath, the Holy Spirit of my body. I have the light of this world, which is God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit in me, and no darkness can come upon me of any kind. And the fire of the Holy Spirit will burn any disease that tries to enter my mouth, breath, and body. I am purified and made whole. Amen. All right. We'll try to quote some of these things in the, you know, in our fasting time and declare them. Because when you declare the word, it actually stomps the enemy, don't it? The word of God.
Amen. That is awesome. Woo! The word of God is quick and powerful. Yes, thank you, Lord. I feel his anointing here this morning. We're going to pray over these prayer cloths. I'm going to ask the elders if they can come up at this time. And we are going to pray over these prayer cloths. Hallelujah. They didn't. Here's oil if we want to, or if we want to anoint them as they take them. Mm-hmm. But we do want to pray over them. And if someone will get the microphone, please.
Well, I just turned it off.
Mm-hmm. Punch the button. Yeah, that one. We have to hold it quite a while. Mm-hmm. Like one, two, three. Just while we're getting ready up here, just a reminder that when you pray, when you go to war, the first principle is to remember, and I'll stand up and physically do this. I'll say, I step into Jesus Christ. The scripture says Christ is in us and we are in Christ. And we live in that position. But when I'm getting ready to really intercede, I just physically say, Heavenly Father, I step into Jesus Christ. He is my rock. He is my sword. He is my shield. He is my defender. And he surrounds me with a ring of fire today as I intercede on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ in the earth. Okay? And so just aligning yourself and stepping into Christ, and then begin to use the word of God to destroy the enemy. Because without Jesus, we're nothing. Amen? But with Jesus Christ, we're everything. And he already defeated Satan. So when we step into him, Satan is already defeated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray over these prayer cloths. I'm going to ask the elders if they will, whoever would like to lead out, scripture. If you want to know why we're doing this here, let me share scripture. In Acts 19:11-12, it says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out from them." And Mark 6:17-18 says this, "These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." And so, you know, the anointing that was on Paul was transferred. There's a transference of anointing. And today, as we lay hands on these prayer cloths, there is a transference of the anointing on these cloths. And as you take them, you will see God will move in people's lives. And you're the ones that lay hands on the sick and they recover. And some of you, I thought of this morning, are working in offices where you know people are demon possessed and you want to see them delivered. You need to take a cloth and sneak it in somewhere. Hallelujah. I believe that's true. I have faith for that because Jesus Christ wants to set everyone free. He's not picking and choosing, but he wants us to be his hands and feet. And so this morning, once again, we're going to lay hands on these. And thank you, Lord. And we do have oil.
We got double oil.
No, she's got it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Go ahead and lead out.
Mm-hmm. Father, we anoint these prayer cloths. Lord. With the blood of Jesus, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, for the powerful ministry of healing in people's lives, we bless these cloths.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, shed it.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're our healer, our deliverer. We thank you, Father, that you've hidden us in the shadow of your wing, that we can dwell in you as our strong tower. Father, we just thank you that you surround us with your favor as a shield. Father, that when we're dwelling in your favor, we know that we're dwelling in your presence. We're dwelling in your healing power. We're dwelling in your restoration, Father. We just thank you for all the work that you're doing within us. And we just send forth your healing power with these cloths to the nations and to the people that we minister to, Father. We just ask that your presence would continue to deliver those that need to come into your kingdom in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, we just release a blessing that an oil is symbolic, an anointing of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. So we release a double anointing on this. And Lord, that wherever it is, your anointing and your presence and your purification will be with them. In Jesus' name, amen, 100%.
And we're going to ask praise team if they'll get ready to come up and sing "How Great Is Our God" while we finish anointing each one of these prayer cloths. Thank you, Lord.